This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday, September 8th. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air. On this, the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Blessed Mother. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you. Today, the Catholic Church celebrates our Blessed Mother's birthday on this traditional day of September 8th, exactly 9 months to the day after the celebration of the Immaculate Conception. I want to bring in Glenn Leverins. Glenn, happy feast day.
Well, thank you very much, John. Taking a look at some of the things going on in the news today. This Saturday, of course, marks 20 years since the 9/11 terror attacks in New York City, Washington, D.C., and that plane going down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Over 2,700 lives were lost in New York City with the falling of the Twin Towers there. And for the first time in 2 years, authorities have identified some remains via DNA technology. These parts of remains were found many years ago, but as part of sifting through the rubble, they were able to find those pieces and identify them through DNA technology. And that still leaves, believe it or not, 40% of those who died in New York in 9/11 remain unidentified.
Absolutely. It's incredible that there are that many victims that still have not been identified after all these years. And of course, we're coming up this Saturday to the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So we're going to be talking about 9/11 specifically on our show on Friday. We have a special show planned, Glenn. Meanwhile, our friends down in Mexico experienced a pretty powerful earthquake this morning in that Acapulco area. In fact, it was felt all the way as far as Mexico City, a couple hundred miles away.
That's right, a 7.0 earthquake just north of Acapulco. One person said to be dead, no severe damage reported, but 7.0 still a pretty strong quake. About 1.6 million people, though, left without power last night, so that will, of course, continue to cause some problems, and buildings were swaying again as far as Mexico City, about 180 miles north of Acapulco.
Well, we pray for all those people and hope that there are no further fatalities. I know that people were terrified. I saw some images of buildings shaking and people very scared, so it could have been a lot worse. Meanwhile, President Biden is expected to give another speech tomorrow on ways to fight the pandemic. It's hard to believe after 18-plus months that we're still talking about this, and it's still a big challenge for the president.
He's supposed to outline about six new strategies. About 75% of adults now have had at least one vaccine shot, 65% fully vaccinated, but kids being hit hardest by the Delta variant. 26% of new weekly infections are hitting the youngsters, most in the South Texas, reporting the highest number of children hospitalized.
Well, again, we continue to pray for our country that we get over this pandemic and of course, continue to unite our prayers to everybody for this cause that it's affecting so many people around our country. As always, thanks, Glenn.
You got it, John.
All right. We'll check in with Glenn a little bit later. We begin each hour in prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every day when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming up shortly, we're going to be joined by corporate entrepreneur Juan Carlos Sanchez to talk to us about a new Cinderella remake that turns a classic children's fairy tale into a full-blown LGBTQ propaganda film. And Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky will discuss his book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. And we'll tell you how you can order your free copy today. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. As always, we have our power scripture from the Playbook of Life. Today's is from Luke 1:48. Our Blessed Mother Mary says in the Magnificat, "For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." On this birthday of the Blessed Mother, it's a good day to remind ourselves why we call her blessed. We as Catholics, we definitely don't adore or worship Mary. We honor her. We venerate the Blessed Mother, whom the angel Gabriel herself calls full of grace. Her cousin, Elizabeth, in Luke 1:42, calls Mary, "Blessed are you among women." In fact, Mary herself calls her blessed in the Magnificat in this verse that we just quoted, "Behold, all generations will call me blessed." We honor the Virgin Mary, our Blessed Mother, because of the great privilege of being conceived without sin and being the Mother of God, the Mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, on this day, on this birthday, ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for you and pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, I'm sure that many of you remember the classic story of Cinderella. Would you believe that the conventional storyline of Cinderella is getting a new twist, a new musical adaptation with the introduction of a LGBTQ sexless godmother? This weekend, Amazon Prime launched an odd new rendition of Cinderella that features a pro-LGBTQ agenda. And now joining us to talk about it is Juan Carlos Sanchez. Juan Carlos is a corporate entrepreneur with a career track record in international and Hispanic media and entertainment industries, working with brands such as Colgate, Palmolive, Visa, Sony, and NBCU. He's a Catholic father of two and an aficionado triathlete and marathoner who lives in Cooper City, Florida. Good morning, Juan Carlos. Welcome back to Morning Air. Good to be with you again, and a happy feast day of our Blessed Mother.
Happy feast for you and all the listeners. It's great to be back with you here talking about this topic.
Juan Carlos, some people are shocked to hear what we're reporting here. The classic fairy tale of a Cinderella, it's getting this new twist. Can you talk about this new version of Cinderella, which has a godmother as genderless? Why should this be concerning to people of faith, to Catholics and other Christians?
Well, John, yes, absolutely. Shock is the main strategy of media and communication in general nowadays. I mean, it's always been, but nowadays, just putting a focus on how to shock the audience, how to make them say, oh. The audiences have been brought into a point where it's very difficult to shock, especially right now, in the current political environment and religious environment that we're living. So it's not, unfortunately, it's not surprising to see this type of productions being put out there, especially through mediums that are hitting directly our households through the over-the-top services such as Amazon and the electronic services that are coming directly. We don't have an option now to just walk to the theater. Is just being served with very simple, very powerful means to our kids and our families. So, it's very unfortunate to see that this movie coming out. As we say in the industry, you attack with comedy and then you convert with drama. And in this case, because it's a musical and it's comedy, it's being positioned in such a way that it's lowering our filters, quite frankly. I was very surprised. I had to watch it. I was debating this over the weekend if our kids actually could be able to watch it or not, and just taking a quick look at the reviews, and I had to watch it to have this conversation with you and your audience this morning. But quite frankly, there's so much that we need to talk that we might not have enough time in these 50 minutes. But it was very concerning just to see the spiritual and the supernatural being at the core of the movie that is supposed to be, traditionally, when the Grimm brothers brought up this to scene, it was quite a way to, you know, show the influence of God in the life of a very suffer heroine that was Cinderella. So to have this changed and replaced and changing the basis of this narrative that has lived in the conscious of our societies for centuries is very concerning, John.
Juan Carlos, seeing that you actually watched the film, even though you really didn't want to, what part really offended you the most? Can you share with our audience what you saw that really, really was concerning?
Yes. So basically, I mean, I had to do the exercise. And again, we have to observe everything as part of the effort we're doing. We have to watch everything and analyze it, right? So as grown-ups, we have to analyze this before we let our kids underage coming and consume this. It's nothing different that you're doing, let's say, with fast food, right? So as an adult or any other thing, you know, alcohol, like anything that affects your body and your soul and your health. I mean, if you're a grown-up, you can make these decisions. But as I was watching this movie, I was just thinking about my kids and how to prevent this to come into our household, because we're forming them, right? And kids need to be formed the same as with food. You have to give them good nutrients. But if you start planting in their heads anti-values and things that are not necessarily given through the moral law, this is going to, for sure, it's going to create problems when they're grown up. So this is we have to pay and raise our radar, tune up our radar to be more. And the movie was basically a G-rated. So it's not about the age necessarily. It's about the values that it brings in and all the. It's a device that is planted with a lot of anti-value, traditional family values, unfortunately.
If you have a question or a comment for Juan Carlos Sanchez, we're talking about this new Cinderella remake film. Give us a call. We have open lines, 888-914-9149. If you're concerned about family values being distorted in this day and age, especially in the mainstream media, 888-914-9149. Juan Carlos, some people are saying that that young people, the kids, are ready, but that grown-ups are slowing things down. Is it really a question of the perspective of the new generation, or is it just not very good entertainment that we're getting? Or both?
So, again, you have to value this from two perspectives. One, the aesthetics and the storytelling, but also the impact that it has on a value. On the value side, on the moral side, is it good for kids? Is it gonna help them to understand how life operates? Is it gonna equip them correctly to make decisions where we are not there, present with them when they're out to, they're at school, they're at college? Are we preparing them? And is this material that we're watching together giving them and preparing them to make those decisions while we're not there? And quite frankly, they're still being formed. So I don't think kids are ready for this type of things, unfortunately. And this is just going to keep eroding our social structure as we go into the future, just because it's not about being contemporary. I mean, there's a lot of productions out there that are still very modern, very well produced, very high quality, but still are within constructive values, and not just being out there just to destroy. It was quite concerning to see, for instance, normally these type of narratives were ending with marriage at the core. In this particular version, it was quite outstanding to see that Cinderella does not get married at the end of the story. So there's such a, it's distorting even the classical narrative that we used to see to very recent, especially for the Hispanic community in novellas, for instance, the classical novellas. You're starting to see a lot of distortion of the classical structures of narrative right now.
Absolutely. And in fact, if you analyze the way that it's being marketed, the way it's being presented, the description online, in fact, just on Google about this new Cinderella movie, it describes Cinderella is a 2021 romantic musical. They call it a romantic musical, but the message is distorted. You know, there was a time when the film industry pushed subliminal messages, kind of hidden messages in the movies, but now they're just coming out flat out with a clear public agenda. They are not timid at all about what agenda they're trying to push here.
Yeah, definitely there's a lot of ideology. And unfortunately, it's more into the woke movement. So you see a lot of efforts to try to overshow different minorities situations. So you'll see, for instance, even the resistance to have a king in this case and changing and weakening his position of power, for instance, that's something that really concerns from a paternalistic perspective, for instance. We had Cinderella is not the story and the narrative, the traditional narrative will talk about her effort to just persevere through difficult circumstances and then overcome. In this case, Cinderella, it's an entrepreneur, and so it's trying to reflect and oversell towards this current political environment, quite frankly. So I think it's a device to try to sell a lot of woke ideology to our kids.
Juan Carlos, where should we as parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, teachers, where should we stand against these types of films?
Well, we have to make sure that we cannot just consume it because it's G-rated or it's recommended in the advertising campaigns or the promotional campaigns. We have to discern further. So we have to have an active role. And that takes time, energy, education, and we cannot just eat it because it's served in our plates. We have to filter, we have to analyze, we have to, it's tough. And we have to have an active engagement and active participation before kids watch this. Even if you're a grandparent, you cannot just, okay, let's entertain our kids, let them spend 2 hours and we're fine here and we're just watching on them so they don't cause trouble. You know what? Sometimes before we spend those 2 hours, there's a cost of opportunity in those 2 hours or that 60-minute movie. The cost of opportunity is that they might not be watching something that is constructing them and building them up as both spiritually and morally. So we just need to pay more attention and have an active involvement on the decisions of what is being watched. And do not let the medium select that for your kids, because it's incredible the amount of time kids will spend, sometimes even more time with the medium than with their parents or at school. So we have to pay attention to that.
Juan Carlos, how can we help our loved ones to discern what is truth? Truth is under attack these days. Beauty is under attack, and the good, you know, the truth, the beautiful, the good. In fact, God's design is being attacked with all these ideas pushed by the entertainment industry. What can we do to help our loved ones know and discern what is actually true?
So the U.S. has been built on top of the moral law and has operated greatly for more than 200 years. So the rule of thumb here is go to the moral law, go to the Ten Commandments. And that's a strong feedback, strong sounding board that we can check. Is checking on this? Is this something that will hold up to those commandments, and it will hold up to the virtues that we're trying to implant in our kids as we educate them. So is this going to be encouraging a specific, what specific value is this movie? What's the intention of that specific movie or that specific show? Is it going to help me to educate them in a certain virtue? Is this compound within the Ten Commandments? It's this something that will elevate the soul of our kids and again make them make great decisions when we're not there. And that's a simple, quick filter that you can do in a matter of minutes. So that's the rule of thumb, I believe, that we have to take into consideration.
Final minute, Juan Carlos, how can your initiative, Family Playland, support parents and educators to promote a virtuous source of entertainment for families?
Yeah, as the group keeps moving ahead, and we haven't launched yet, John, and thank you for asking that, we're compiling and curating hours of content before launch, and we're making sure through our editorial group that it just checks all the marks on this, exactly what we just talked about, the moral laws and the Ten Commandments. So it could be a comedy, it could be a drama, it could be a musical, but we have to be careful, and the group will be doing these analysis previously to facilitate that process for parents or grandparents or teachers. And at the same time, we'll make reviews. We'll have reviews for our movie, so people will know, there will be a disclaimer, so people will know exactly what's the intent of the movie. Something very simple. There's a lot of reviews out there, but we're trying to consider putting all together into the platform so to facilitate this for both kids and parents, especially parents.
How is your initiative of the Family Playland, how's that going? How soon is it coming?
So we are basically in the stage of, we have a prototype already ready. We're testing, and we're now basically focusing on the selection of content. So the two C's, as we call them. So it's content that aligns with the values that we want. We're promising as the brand, number one, and two, capital. So we're in the process of raising enough capital to be able to collect and market this to the audiences here in the States. Hispanic audiences, but it's going to be in English and Spanish. So we're pushing for this initiative and getting ready to launch hopefully before the end of this year.
Final word of encouragement for parents that are listening that might be thinking, I can't believe that they're putting out these kind of movies like the new Cinderella.
So we have to be smart. We have to analyze. We have to get involved. And media filtering, it's important. How to select what we're consuming, same way we have concern about what our kids are eating. Just make sure that you are selecting what is being watched at home.
Excellent. Well, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for your insights and many blessings with your Family Playland venture. Thanks so much, Juan Carlos.
Thank you so much. We'll be in touch.
Juan Carlos Sanchez, corporate entrepreneur in the international Hispanic media and entertainment industries. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air returns, you'll hear from Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky, who will discuss his outstanding book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. Stay tuned. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Thirty-one minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Good to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us here on the birthday of our Blessed Mother Mary. Now, today in our nation and throughout the world, traditional marriage is under attack more than ever before. We need to have a spiritual insurance policy, some practical advice on how to have a good Catholic marriage. Recently, I spoke to Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the chairman and CEO of Relevant Radio, about marriage insurance. Listen to my conversation with Father Rocky on his book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By.
Hey, good morning, John. It's great to be with you. I'm glad I have a chance to tell our audience a little bit about this book that I wrote several years ago. And in a sense, it's very similar to my book, Mary at the Crossroads of History. It sort of wrote itself. So I was chaplain at a boys' school in Chicago. I've done youth work, youth ministry for more than 30 years. And because of that, it's not unusual that I have the joy and honor of celebrating wedding masses, and I get to preach at those masses. So over time, I kind of developed a homily in which I would give the young a couple advice about how to have a successful marriage. And most of this is based on my observation of my parents. I observed their wedding and marriage for 40 years until they passed away. So I had, you know, 40 years of studying what works and observing what works. Also the marriages of others, relatives, friends, people I know in Opus Dei and such. And I realized there are certain factors which really can predict a strong and faithful and happy marriage. And there's also risk factors that can tear it apart. And the reason, John, this is so important is because as the church goes, so goes the family. And as the family goes, so goes society. So if the stability of marriage breaks down, it leads to all sorts of problems and evils in terms of mental health and physical health and poverty and violence and unemployment and all the rest. All the studies are in, right? So marriage, and when it's stable and healthy, it creates a happier, more productive society. So you know how insurance policies work. If you have something that's very valuable to you, like your house or your life or your car, you don't want to risk losing it, but there's always some risk out there. And in case you lose it, you want to have an insurance package so it can help you recover your house or the income that your spouse might lose if you pass away. That's life insurance, or your car, right? And if you buy a car, the more valuable it is, the more you have to pay for insurance. Also, the person who drives the car might have certain risk factors. Usually, if you're young and male and you buy a brand new sports car, you're going to have to pay a lot of money for insurance because you're in a risky category. Whereas if you're older and more settled, you won't have to pay as much. So that's how it works. And I tell people, the day you get married, if you pay me $1,000 for marriage insurance, if you ever break up, I'll pay you $1 million back, but you have to follow these 12 rules. How about that?
I love it. And Father Rocky, you know, you were alluding to all the different weddings that you've had over the years with many different couples, and I could never forget your homily from the pulpit of St. Mary the Angels Church here in Chicago on our wedding day, Cindy and myself, when you talked about this marriage insurance. And that was early on. You only had 4 rules to live by at that time. Eventually, right, it would grow to 12 rules. The inspiration for this book, it was something that developed over the years. I know your parents had a lot to do with it.
Right. You know, and I listen to people because I've given that homily a number of times. Friends of mine, they once said, you know, Father, you're missing a rule. There's another rule in your book, and that is the spouses should go to bed at the same time. And now I haven't been married, so I didn't immediately understand that. He said, that's when you talk. You both go to bed at the same time. And the couples that I know who are most happily married, they sort of live on the same schedule. You know, they get up at the same time. They go to bed at the same time. They're always together. They're working as a team. They're helping each other. And almost all the rules of my book, John, lead to one thing. That is communication and being together. Because if you're not together, your heart will find something else to occupy it. It could be things. It could be consumerism. It could be addictive behaviors. It could be another person, right? Because the heart is hungry for love. And if we don't give our heart the love of the spouse, it's going to find something else to love. It can love itself. It can love work. It can love success. It can love all sorts of other pursuits. So a lot of these things are there. So some of the things that I've observed, and I've studied the reports on this, the first two rules are try to choose somebody who has very similar values, right? So this means that you have to be deliberate in your choice of a spouse. It can't just be based on the emotional attraction or the infatuation, like love at first sight. Although that, you know, if you're not attracted to a person, that's not going to work either, but you've got to be attracted to a person. But we also have to have those serious conversations about what are the values we share in common. So I tell people, if you're a serious practicing Catholic, you should find another serious practicing Catholic to marry. If you're, let's say, a lukewarm Catholic, probably best to find another lukewarm Catholic. If you're Muslim, find a Muslim. If you're Jewish, find a Jewish person. You know, and then talk about what are these very important values for you. A second rule to live by is don't live together. Don't cohabitate before marriage, because that is a high risk factor.
A lot of folks aren't listening to that rule these days, Father.
No, it's very common that people live together and they think, well, I've got to practice this. But all the studies are in. There's a high correlation between cohabitation and subsequent divorce. Now, the other challenge that happens today, John, is people simply don't get married, right? So they say the divorce rate is going down. That's true to a certain extent. You have to understand that. And that is the marriage rate is going down. So if you don't have marriages, you're not going to have divorces, right? But the cohabitation, why is that? Well, because if you cohabitate, you don't have to communicate as much, and you don't have to sacrifice as much, right? So
no commitment.
Marriage
There's
is all
no
about
commitment.
Sacrifice. There's no commitment, right? There's no commitment. So this is huge. And fathers and mothers have a special duty in this regard, you know, to drill this into their children from a young age. Now, you, whoever you might are right now, you might be listening, you might be shocked that I use that word, drill this into your children, but it's exactly what God says to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4. I'm aware you can translate it in different ways, but I like the Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition translation of the Septuagint Greek Old Testament. Drill the commandments into your children from a young age. What are the expectations? And that's why I think people should start reading this book from a young age, 14, 15 years old. As soon as boys are attracted to girls and girls attracted to boys and they want to date, they have to understand, well, what dating is. It's courtship for a lifelong commitment. It isn't just playing around and amusing myself, which many times we tend to think that was. And I remember in high school, I asked a priest, you know, some very pointed questions about relationships, and it really stopped me in my tracks thinking, okay, what's the point of this relationship? Where is it going? Where is it heading? So we have to be deliberate there. Then a third rule I give there is to follow the church's teaching on sexual morality. Avoid using artificial contraception. That's for a variety of reasons, but a very convincing reason is if the couple is using artificial contraception to avoid children, and there may be a reason that's prudent to avoid children for the moment, a serious reason, but they don't have to communicate, and they depend on technology or chemistry to do their working for them instead of working together, right? So those are three of the rules, and sometimes people don't like to hear those. I know that. I know that sometimes in Catholic marriage classes, people don't want to use the book because I'm so straightforward there, but I always felt I have the duty to tell the truth, and I would tell this always every year to the seniors in my religion class at Northridge Prep, because once they left the school, they're on their own. I said, I want you to hear this before you go out there, and to know what you're getting into. And then we move on to things which I think are more pleasant. All right. So one of those is once you're married, you don't stop courting each other. You don't stop dating. And so go out on a weekly date. I saw that with my parents as a kid. Every Saturday night, they'd dress up and they'd go out to dinner. And the last words they'd say before they left to the kids was, we're going to be back in 3 hours. Don't burn the house down. And I'm thinking, man, you can do a lot and not burn the house down. So those are some of the ideas, but I'm glad I can share it this morning with your audience.
These are great practical tips that Father Rocky has for us. The book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. As we continue our conversation with Father Rocky, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have much more to talk about. We're only about a third way through the 12 rules as we continue with Father Francis Hoffman, the CEO of Relevant Radio. Stay with us. We'll be back after this short timeout. Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
I love it. 45 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation with Relevant Radio CEO Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky. We're talking about his book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. Father Rocky, we've made it through the early part of your rules. Next up is going on a yearly vacation. Now, why is that so important, Father?
Hey, I'll tell you in a second, but you know, when we came in from break listening to Frank Sinatra, I thought that was you singing. You sound like Frank Sinatra. I thought that was John Morales singing.
I have a few skills, but that's not one of them.
Has anyone ever told you that you sound like Frank Sinatra?
No. Very funny.
Thought, man, John's got a great gig here, you know? So, yearly vacation. Now, there's the family vacation and there's the spouse vacation. Now, I know this is very hard when you're newly married, you're young, you've got little kids, and life is crazy, all right? But many times when I've counseled couples who are having a very hard time, I ask them, when was the last time they were happy? Or when was the last time they had a vacation just by themselves? Or when was the last time they went out to dinner just by themselves? And many times it's been years. And I said, okay, I understand. You're not investing enough in yourself. And a vacation could be as simple as sending the kids away to your relatives for the weekend, and you've got a weekend just by yourselves, or having your relatives babysit for the kids, and you go somewhere for 3 days. It doesn't have to be expensive, but married couples have to invest in their own relationship. Otherwise, they'll wander. You have to work at it. Just because you make that commitment and you take your vows on your wedding day in the church doesn't mean it's going to stick. You have to work at it every day. So I've seen that before. I also witnessed that in my parents. One thing I picked up over the years, it was really quite phenomenal, was the usefulness of a weekly business meeting. All right, that doesn't sound very romantic. And it could be the husband or wife, maybe they go to a McDonald's on a Saturday morning, get a cup of coffee, and they have their yellow legal pad and a calendar and a pen. And they just communicate with each other about the business of the family and the house and the calendar and the scheduling. So they work together as a team. I learned this from a number of married couples who had been part of a charismatic covenanted community in Akron and Cleveland years ago, 20, 30 years ago. I think they were called the Bread of Life. And I was really impressed by the integrity of these people, their commitment, and I was really amazed at the almost non-existence of divorce among married couples. And this is, you know, in the 80s and 90s when divorce was just skyrocketing. And one of the practices I learned was this weekly business meeting. Husband and wife go off together, maybe on a Saturday morning for a cup of coffee, and they spend an hour talking about the business of the family, planning the calendar, the schedule, the upkeep of the house, the budget, all of this kind of stuff, right? This applies in business as well, right? people who work together have to communicate.
Absolutely. I started to say, this is so practical, what you're suggesting. In fact, my wife just reminded me just yesterday, hey, we need to talk about the budget for our upcoming vacation. So
right.
Very, very practical, which leads us to the very next rule to live by in your marriage insurance book. And never say mine. You never say my chair, my chocolate, my bank account. Talk about the importance of that attitude.
Sure. Well, that's, you know, marriage is it's a vocation to holiness, to sanctity. And I tell people there's no shortcut to heaven. Whether it be celibacy in the priesthood, or you're in a cloistered monastery, or you're a missionary in the third world with no shoes on your feet, or you're in marriage, there's no shortcut, right? Everybody has to pay the same price, which is identification with Christ. And the four-letter word that you should never use in marriage, and I'm not saying you should use any four-letter word in marriage, is the one that begins with M. It's the four-letter word, mine. Once you're married, it's not mine, it's ours. And I think it's helpful at times when people, a husband and wife, share an email account. I send emails to many people where it goes to both of them. And I know I'm communicating with both of them. Now, maybe you can't do that with a business account or things like that, but it's just everything's kind of really open. In the same way, I think they should have a mutual checking account and a mutual credit account. You know, everything is ours. And I'm very suspect or cautious about prenuptial agreements. Either you're all in or you're not all in, right? And I suppose there are valid reasons given certain circumstances and such about that, you know, that people are marrying for the right reason and not for money. But that's very important. So it's not my time, my life, my side of the garage, my leftovers in the refrigerator. It's not, you know, my chair in front of the television, or, you know, my whatever it is.
My newspaper.
My newspaper,
yeah.
Right?
Father, you know, as far as the bank account issue, that's an issue for some couples. I've heard of couples
of
that have had separate bank accounts for 20, 30 years. But really, the couple becomes one flesh, according to Catholic teaching. I think the bank account needs to become one flesh.
Yeah, and you can go. You can make valid cases both ways. You have to take a look at the circumstances. And I have to say, these rules are general. This has not been revealed by God. This is not part of divine revelation or dogma. There are things I've observed before. And here's the thing, John. People listening right now, in terms of the marriage, if you just make an effort in one of those areas, it's going to help. So the other tip I give, which is very important for married couples, is pray together every day, at least an Our Father. And I remember some years ago I was giving some marriage preparation to a young couple. In fact, I drove by their house the other day and I stopped, and Mary is expecting yet another child, and her husband had been out of work and he found another job, and they're making it. I'm really proud of them. I remember when I was preparing them for marriage, I was going through these rules, and I said, pray together every day, at least an Our Father. And she looked surprised. She said, at least an hour? I said, no, at least an Our Father. Oh, well, we can do that.
Very funny.
And usually people pray together at dinner time. And that's very important. Just a little thing like that. You know, it's like that mustard seed that we heard about in the gospel yesterday, that's the tiniest of all seeds, but it grows up into be a great, great bush, right?
And if you can, Father, obviously praying the rosary as a family, something that you experienced as a kid.
I did. And, you know, we do the Family Rosary Across America every night on Relevant Radio, 7 p.m. Whenever possible, I try to do it live. Thank God we've got a great engineering team that is able to be flexible to my constant movements, and we can plug into the electric communications, telecommunications grid just about anywhere in the country. And as a kid, we did pray the rosary as a family. I don't recall if it was every night or it was just sometimes in the month of October, sometimes in the month of May, but I had a very clear impression that we did pray the rosary together. And to me, it was a great experience because the whole family was together and we were doing something which we knew was far more important than ourselves. We were together as a family praying to God through the Blessed Mother. And so family prayer is hugely important. I want to invite all of our listeners to participate. If you can, every night at 7 p.m. live, just listen on Relevant Radio, or you can go to our website, relevantradio.com. You can listen to it. You can also watch the video of it, and they do a great job because they put pictures up of the various mysteries of the Rosary, religious pictures, so you have that image in your mind. And then we put, during each decade, five pictures of five different families that want us to pray for them. Isn't that great? Everybody praying for families. Families with families, families praying for families, families praying with families. And we're going to continue to promote this. And one of our big intentions right now, John, is for an end to legal abortion in this country. And we see that there's one very important case coming up before the Supreme Court in October. And there may be another one which could overturn Roe versus Wade. For this we pray, because we know unjust laws like that cannot last forever. But we really need a miracle. We need God's grace. We need God's intervention in history. It's not just a question of political action or instruction or media. We need a miracle. And so the key is we got to get lots of kids praying with their families, because kids' prayers are really powerful prayers.
Father Rocky, real briefly, because we're just rolling along but running out of time, going to Mass, going to monthly confession, and then just saying every day to your spouse, I love you. Quick thought on those three final suggestions, your 12 rules
right.
to live
well,
by.
We need to go to Mass anyway every Sunday, but I really emphasize that in the book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. We need that grace. We need that connection to God. We need to realize that we have a lot to be grateful for. If we're grateful, we're happy. If we're not grateful, we're sad. And sadness is a real enemy. It's an ally of the enemy. That's what St. Josemaria said. Sadness is an ally of the enemy. It's an ally of the devil. And when we go to Mass, we're happy because we're grateful. So we need Mass. We need monthly confession because we need to stay in the state of grace. And we have to get used to saying, it was my fault and I'm sorry. That's very important in marriage. And then every day, your spouse, got it. I have nothing more to add.
Thank you, Father Rocky, as always. Appreciate it so
Thanks,
much.
John.
Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, Chairman, CEO of Relevant Radio, the author of Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. And, of course, you can get your copy of Father Rocky's Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By for free at relevantradio.com/marriage. There's no shipping or handling charges, but it's only available for a limited time, so get your free copy. Do it now. Do it today at relevantradio.com/marriage. Join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary across America with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central, tonight and every night of the week. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called God of the Bathroom Floor. God isn't just the God of steeples, prayer meetings, well-paying jobs, mission trips, intact families, worship songs, Sunday school, all those visible spaces, the ones we show to the world, the ones that look like we have our act together, the ones where we'll be praised. He's bigger than that. Much, much bigger. His heart is bigger. His presence is bigger. His well-worn tenderness is bigger. Because he's also and especially the God of oncology visits, broken hearts, empty checking accounts, funeral parlors, rehab rooms, sleepless and fitful nights, bathroom floors, messy selves and messy lives, the places where it's just us and him, the ones only he can really see. Hear, understand, guide, comfort, and heal. The places of loss, despair, loneliness, doubt, and fear that are also the places of growth, hope, belonging, grace, and peace. The places that nothing and no one else can touch except for this big, big, very present, in time of trouble, help, tender-hearted God. Those are the most sacred places of all, and some of the most beautiful. Psalm 46:2, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress.
Thanks so much, Glenn. As always, you can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea for a Story Corner, or maybe an idea for Morning Air for our show, just send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, and our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead, and I want to encourage you to have a blessed, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Blessed Mother. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow.